the New Testament of the Bible offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation, that is, to you. If you'd like one, feel free to come and ask for one. Tis the Word of God. Tis the revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom alone is to be found salvation. In no other name is salvation to be found. Deliverance, that is, from a certain and, of course, a very much known danger. That, of course, of our sinful state and condition, our apostasy from God. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, then do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. The Bible, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order, of course, for a person to believe unto salvation, they first must know what to believe. For some people will tell you that, you know, more self-belief would be a good thing for you. And of course, that would, doubtless, that would get you on better in the world. Might get you a better job. Might get you along a lot better in this world. But of course, believing in yourself would not get you right with God. And of course, self-belief, well, you know, that's a problem in itself, because I think it's believing in ourselves too much that's kind of got us into the mess that we're in. Some people will tell you, just trust your heart, you know, just go with your heart. Seems to me, from what the Bible says, that, you know, that's probably the worst thing that you can do, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. So trust in self, trust in your own heart, believe in yourself. That's not the answer. Then, of course, you've got all kinds of all your world religions, you know, you've got many of them, but God's Word, the Bible says that there's no salvation, not an ounce of it, outside of His Son Jesus Christ, the one who He sent into the world to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that through Him that the world might be saved. So there's no answer in your world religions. That's idolatry, anything contrary to what God has revealed in His Word, the Bible, is termed idolatry. So that won't get us right with God either. No, it's through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order for a person to know what they must believe, well, as God says in His Word, number one, a preacher must come and tell them. And for the preacher to come and tell them, he must needs be sent by God. And of course, he must impart to you the right information so that you can hear. But of course, if you don't hear, you don't listen, you know. You tell your kids, you know, good things. Doubtless, you know, if you're a parent or grandparent, you've had that experience, you know. You try to teach your children to be good. You try to teach them the right thing, you know, because You want them to be successful. You want them to get on. You know, and you, times, you know, you keep telling them, but, you know, they don't listen to you. Just the same way as you and I, you know, don't listen to God. So, you see, hearing is essential. And hearing, of course, the right thing. Not a lot of drivel. Not hearing what you get through the media, through politicians, philosophers, and so on. But hearing the word of God. That's how faith comes. Faith that is, that's required for salvation. Faith that is, that brings salvation. Faith that is in the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the one who came and brought grace and truth. So you see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then you may ask a question, well, what does the word of God, what does the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, what do they teach? What do they make known to us? What information do they give us? Well, they teach us, basically and simply, the three R's. Man's ruin, God's redemption, and of course the gospel's regeneration. But man's ruin, of course, well, that might be evident to you, but I don't think so. But, you know, were you to look around, you might, you know, come to the conclusion that something's gone wrong, you know, that we're not working, you know, we're not together, you know, we're not getting it right, you know, we keep saying, you know, things must never happen again. You know, we said it after the First World War, said it after the Second World War. We keep saying it after each war, you know, it must never happen again, but we never learn. It keeps happening again. We keep doing the stupid all the time, you know. It's like it's ingrained in us. And you might notice, you know, that through the generations, we have things like starvation. You know, we have, all kinds of problems throughout the world. We devised all kinds of means to, of course, overcome many of these terrible things that happen within the human race. We devised, you know, the European Union. And we devised, of course, the United Nations. And what did they tell us? When we invented the United Nations, there would be an end of war, and there would be an end of famine. And here we are, all these years on, and there's still more wars and more famine than there's ever been before. So, a confederacy of nations, that's not the answer either to man's ruin. But you see, in order to understand the problem, you've got to go back to the beginning. And it's the word of God, it's the Bible alone, you see, that gives you that information, gives you that understanding of man's ruin. It goes right back, you see, to your first parents and mine. And here's the thing, you see, the Bible tells us that God made of all nations from one blood. You see, a black man and a white man, you know, a yellow man, a pink man, it doesn't matter, you know, you cut his flesh and you'll find that there's red blood comes out of all of us. So you see, we're all one people, one race. And of course we all came from the same parents, Adam and Eve. But Adam got it wrong to begin with. He failed the test, you see, and he brought sin and death. He brought man's ruin into the world. That, you see, is where it stands from. And the result of that is, you see, that Adam began to get children in his own likeness. That is, in his own sinful, rebellious, iniquitous likeness. Just like himself. And so, you too get children in your own likeness. Like the Bible says, you know, that how can you get a clean thing out of an unclean? How can you get clean children out of unclean parents? Impossible. You get children, just like Adam, in your own likeness. Sinful ones. It's the nature, you see. We're conceived in sin, says God. We're born in sin. We come into the world shaping in iniquity, in rebellion against the Almighty. That's why, you see, we're in a state of ruin. Man's ruin. That's the first thing the Bible will teach you. That's the first lesson that you need to learn, is that mankind, the human race, in its totality, is in a state of utter and absolute ruin because of Adam's sin. And of course, because of your sin and my sin. We've all of us contributed to the chaos. It's no good pointing the finger at others and saying, well, it's this lot or that lot. We've all of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bible tells us, there's none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good, says God. Not a single one of us righteous before God, without blame. So, you see, man's ruin, the one common denominator that binds us all together as a human race, is that we're all sinners in Adam. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, all iniquitous, all sinners by nature. And from that nature, well, comes all the bad stuff. From that sinful nature. Maybe perhaps in a quieter moment, you've asked yourself the question, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And why do I keep on doing it when I know it's wrong? I do what I ought not to do, but so help me, I can't stop myself. You know? You fight against all kinds of addictions as well, you know. And for the life of you, you can't overcome them. And you may think to yourself, well, what's the matter with me? Why can't I stop doing this that I know to be wrong? Because you quite naturally do it. Because you're quite naturally a sinner. Now the one, you see, the Bible question posed to you by God is, you know, can you change the spots in a leopard? You say, no, that's his natural state and condition. Can you change the color of the Ethiopian skin? Can you make a black man's skin white? Can you make a white man's skin black? No, you see, that's impossible. That's his natural state and condition. It would take a medical to do that. And you're absolutely right. And so says God, well, how can you, who are accustomed quite naturally to doing evil, how can you do good? With you, this is impossible, because your natural state is a sinful one. You were conceived in sin. You were born in sin. And so you quite naturally do practice that which is contrary to God, contrary to what He has revealed, contrary to His character and will. You do what you ought not to do.
Why were we born in sin?
What?
Why were we born in sin?
Because God says so.
Where?
What? In the Bible. In the Word of God.
You say that we are born in sin?
Yes. Conceived in sin.
Conceived in sin?
Because you get sinful parents. Sinful parents can only get sinful children.
So everybody's going to the hellfire because you're born in sin?
Unless you're born again. Unless you repent and believe the gospel.
So how can you be born again?
Pardon?
How can you be born again?
By the operations of God's Holy Spirit.
By the operation of God's Spirit?
Yes.
Can it be more clear? It's very vague.
Belief in the gospel.
Believe in the gospel.
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So, repent and believe the gospel.
So before Jesus, there was no way to repent?
Yes.
Carry on.
Yes. So man's ruin, you see, with all of us, you're in this ruinous condition. So as you look around you in the world today, you know, you look at all the bad stuff that's in your world, you say, well, where does it come from? It all comes from the same fountain, you see. All comes from the same source. It comes from those sinful natures in which, you see, we're born. You quite naturally do that which is opposite. Christ died for the ungodly, the Bible says. That's the gospel, you see. What does it mean to be ungodly? Well, it means to be contrary to God in your nature. Born, you know, with a natural bent away from God and towards sin. Man's ruin, you see. It goes back to Adam. It goes back to your first parents and mine. He brought sin into the world, and that sin has passed on to the generations and does do and will do right to the very end of the age. Man is in a state of ruin. So when the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that's the first thing that the word of God will teach you, is man's ruin, man's need of redemption. Which brings me, of course, to the second R, God's redemption. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He doesn't have to, we're already condemned. To a man, to a woman, condemned under sin. Entrapped by the law of sin and death, unless the gospel frees us, liberates us. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the second door, you see, God's redemption, God's plan of redemption from even before the foundation of the world. God himself devised the scheme, and God, by his own grace and love, brought the redemptive plan into operation, that all who believe, you see, would be saved from the fall, saved from the ruin of sin. God's redemptive plan, you see, in sending as a Savior. Right at the very beginning, when our first parents, when Adam sinned, God issued the promise that he would send the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman, of course, is Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, and paid the penalty of the law. He came, you see, and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead in order that we might be saved from that ruinous state and condition in which we're all in. But it is the only remedy. It is the only way out of man's ruin. The way back to God from sin's dark path. That is trusting and believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Promise, of course, the command is believe, and the promise is thou shalt be saved. Salvation, you see, in the gospel through the good news that Christ died for the ungodly, that Christ died for men and women who are contrary to God in their natures. That by the gospel, you see, they might be transformed, that they might be changed from the inside out. Or religion will change you on the outside. Or religion will make a big difference if you become religious. And of course, well, you can do that quite freely yourself. No need of God, no need of anybody's help to be religious. Anybody can do that. It's just like falling off a log, you know. Just go to the synagogue, the mosque, the temple. Become religious. Quite easy. But of course, to have your nature transformed, well, that takes something else. That takes the gospel. The gospel, you see, the gospel doesn't make a man, just make a man religious, but it puts the life of God into a man's soul. You must, you see, be born again, Jesus says. The nature must be changed. The heart must be changed. Circumcised in heart. The heart of stone. The heart that hates God and hates your neighbor must be removed, and you're given a heart of flesh. Only in the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, the man born of a woman, and born under the law, that is, who kept the law, who fulfilled all righteousness, and of course,
why don't you shut the door?
Why don't you?
Why don't you go and fucking shoot your gob, eh? Go on, fucking shoot your gob. You're talking crap.
What? One of these days.
I have not done nothing at all. Jesus. Why you fucking don't fucking walk.
There you go, a prize example. Man's ruined, you see? Man's ruined. You see, you don't have to be preaching too long before somebody proves the matter. There's a live demonstration for you of what I've been saying. Repent and believe the gospel, man. Get yourself right with God. Get on your knees before Almighty God.
Shut the fuck up. Leave him.
Go and wash your mouth out. Soap and water. Nitric. So like you say, you know, every week, you know, we get a live demonstration of what sin is. It never fails, you know. Enmity in the heart of man against God, hostility, you know. You'd be sitting here preaching about politics, you know, or some kind of fancy philosophy, and nobody would bat an eyelid. They'd probably all listen to you. But you start talking about God, you start talking about man's ruin, you start talking about God's redemption, you start talking about God's Son, Jesus Christ, and they lose the plot, you know. Fly off the handle. Reveal, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. So, you know what's in the man's heart, you see? Well, you heard what just came out. I won't repeat it. It's not repeatable. But you see, friends, you know, it's what's in the heart is what comes out. But, well, we heard what's in the heart of the drunkard there, but let me ask you, what's in your heart? Huh? What's in your heart for God? What's in your heart for Jesus Christ? What's in your heart for the gospel? What comes out of you? Your speech. What is your speech like? Huh? What is your behavior like? What comes out of your heart? Because that proves what you are, you see. That demonstrates what a man, that demonstrates what a woman is. Whether the heart has been changed or not, or whether it's still just the same, you know, in its natural state and condition. It's the gospel, you see, God's remedy, God's redemption. God's redemption plan, you see, the changes that takes the heart, even of a man such as that, who just kicked off, you know? Take a man like that not by the scuff of the neck, but by his heart, and melt the sin-hardened heart. Take the hatred and take the anger, take the hostility out of the heart of a man or woman, and made him a new creature in Jesus Christ. This is God's plan, you see, to address the heart, and this is why so many people don't like the gospel, fight against the gospel. Why? Because it addresses the heart. That's why men will settle for religion. They'll settle for secularism. They'll settle for anything other than deal with their hearts. But God, you see, addresses the heart. God comes to a man's heart. God demands a heart change, heart surgery. Religion just sticks a plaster on a man. Imagine going to the doctor and the doctor telling you you've got a serious dose of cancer. And he opens his drawer and he takes out a tin of elastoplast and he gives you a plaster. He says, there, stick that on it. Huh? What do you think of that? Well, that's you becoming religious. You're sticking a plaster on the problem. You're sticking a plaster on the cancer. Then, of course, well, secularism, unbelief, you know, godlessness, evolutionism, call it what you will. That's just another form of religion. Because that's what it is, it's religion. It's the most popular religion, doubtless, in your society today. But that doesn't address man's ruin. It doesn't even explain man's ruin. It cannot. Evolution gives you the answer to nothing. It just leaves you in absolute and total despair and hopelessness. Maybe, perhaps, that's why you got so many young people in your society today who are topping themselves, you know, who are committing suicide because they're left without any hope, because they're taught from the cradle to the grave, they're taught this lie of evolution, this godless religion. And it leaves them without any hope. And so when they begin to see through, you know, all the false hopes and false promises that's been given to them by the education system, the state and so on, and they see themselves as utterly hopeless. They've got nothing left but for to take their lives. Now, friends, only the gospel, only the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's God's remedy for man's ruin. Only the gospel addresses the heart. Only the gospel changes the heart. Only the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's the only hope of all the nations. That's the only hope of any person. You yourself. Yeah.
You don't mind, sorry.
No, I don't mind, no. Carry on. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But basically, the only way into heaven is through, not God, but
no.
Jesus Christ.
No? Why? But what is then?
It's the only way into heaven is Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what I said, yeah.
And yeah.
Okay.
No, I only want...
There's no other name whereby man can be saved but through the name of Jesus.
That's okay, we got it, yeah. Okay.
No, sorry, mate, I'm sorry about that, but yeah. It's only through Jesus.
Okay, yeah.
If you call upon him...
It's all right to say, friends, it's the gospel, you know.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, sir, that's good. Have a good day, yeah. Have a good day. You too, and you. Yeah.
That's the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
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 That's my favourite passage.
Okay, I love it.
I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, prosper you, and deliver you from evil.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Jeremiah 29:11.
I'll have a look when I get home. God bless you. God bless you. And you. So like you say, friends, you know, it's the gospel. The gospel's the only answer to man's ruin. You see, it's God's remedy, you know? And here's the thing, you know, the Bible, you see, is God's testimony. It's the record concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. And what God has done, the actions that God has taken in order to provide us with a remedy for man's ruin. But of course, when you say the Bible isn't true, you call God a liar, you know? When you reject the truth of God, when you reject the Word of God, you reject the remedy of God, that which would make you well. Now, going back to the matter, you know, of the enmity, the hostility in the hearts of men against God and against the gospel, such as we've seen demonstrated here this afternoon. Well, I ask you, you know, well, the Bible says, you know, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, it's an evidence. You think that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. Well, that's evidence, God says, that you're on the pathway to perdition. You're perishing. You're perishing. Now, ask yourself the question, that which would make you well, you know, that which would cure you, that which would change your heart, that which would address the ruinous state that you're in, that all are in, you know, to count that, to see that as foolishness, well, I ask you, how foolish is that? That it would deliver you from your sin. That would deliver you from the love of sin. That would deliver you from the cause. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm born again Christian.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Me too.
I really admire you standing here.
Well, it's the Lord's doing, not mine. I'm nothing.
Just pray for me that it would work.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah. Bless you. Bless you.
And you, madam. Thank you very much.
I've known the Lord for 37 years.
38. 1980.
God bless you.
And you too, madam. So, like I say, you know, to see the cross is foolishness. The message of the cross, I mean, God's remedy for man's ruin. To see that, you know, as being foolishness. Well, I ask you, how foolish is that? That would save you from your worst enemy, your worst problem, your love of sin. Because here's the problem, friends, you know. This is why you don't turn to God. This is why you don't turn to Jesus Christ. This is why you don't repent and believe the gospel. This is why you're not born again. Not because God hasn't made provision. Not because what God has done is not enough. But because you love your sin. You love your sin. You love the darkness. And that's why you won't come to the light. To the light of the world, says God. Your deeds are evil. You love the evil. You love the wickedness. You love the sin. You cling to the sin. You don't want to let it go. You wallow in this stuff. It's your entertainment. And so, you don't come to the light, you see. But to count the gospel, to count the preaching of the gospel, the message of the cross, to count that as foolishness, which many of you do in your hearts and minds, well, I ask you, how foolish is that? The very means, the very remedy that God has instituted to take the love of sin out of your heart. To take the love of the booze out of your heart. To take the love of the drugs out of your heart. To take the love of fornication out of your heart. To take the love of killing out of your heart. To take the love of idolatry out of your heart. To take that which is contrary to God, the love of it, out of your heart. But to count that as foolishness, God's remedy that would save you from the love of sin, well, that is the ultimate in foolishness, I suggest to you. And of course, to count as foolishness the message of the cross, God's remedy for man's ruin, to count that as foolishness that would save you from the consequences of your sin. And I tell you, it's more than just a bad day. It's more than just a miserable lifetime, though those are included. Because the misery of sin, I tell you, it's all over the entire human race. It ought to be obvious to you. Hardly a day's happiness in your life. Some of you advocate, you say, well, happiness is the chief end of man. As long as we're happy, does it really matter? Yes, it does. But friends, if happiness, if that's the primary aim of man's existence, well, we've all of us failed to the utmost. Because you don't have many happy days in your life. No, friends, to count the message of the cross, God's remedy for sin, for man's ruin, to count that as foolishness, that is the height of foolishness. That which would save you from the consequence of your sin, its wages. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God in this world. Physical death, it's appointed for men once to die. Eternal death, after this comes the judgment. So you see, friends, God's remedy, the message of the cross. Oh, dear friends, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe God's remedy. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these are the things the Word of God will teach you. These are the things that you must believe in order to be saved. What the Bible says, man's ruin, addressed by God's remedy. And of course, the God. his rising from the dead, that men and women could be born again to a living hope. The gospel's regeneration. That's what it takes. You know? Not just sticking a plaster on somebody, not sending them to the psycho, not sending them to the social workers. Friends, you tried all that before, up one side and down the other, and you're still no different, because it's the heart that's the problem, it's the nature that's the problem. The nature must be changed by the regenerating power of God's Holy Spirit. Only that will do. You see, getting into the heart, getting into right down to the source of the problem and recreating. It's a work of recreation on the part of God. Something God does, not you. Nothing that you can do but cry out to God that He would have mercy on you and come and visit you with His grace, with His mercy, with His compassion and love, that He would come and do a work of recreation in you. Because unless you're born again, Jesus says, you'll never understand, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. You have to be enlightened from above. The heart's blinded. That's the nature, you know. You never see, never understand. It's all just like a fairy story to you until God enlightens the mind and causes you to see, to understand your ruin, man's ruin. What a state that you're in, and that you are totally impotent, powerless to do anything to repair, restore yourself to the favor of God. See that God and God alone must do it. By the gospel, He's given us the remedy. He's given us His only begotten Son. God has provided us with the blood sacrifice, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God has provided, God has put everything in place in order that man's ruin, by God's remedy, might be turned around by the gospel's regenerating power. Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, so that men and women, that's where the hope lies, in what God has done in His Son Jesus Christ. And now that Jesus Christ has accomplished that which religion could never do for you, in dying and rising again from the dead, to give men and women a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's alive and alive forevermore, a living Savior. Not a dead religion, not a dead prophet. It's a living Savior that you need, a living Redeemer. He who conquered sin and death and hell and is alive forevermore and has the ability, the power to put life into you. Eternal life, that is, in Jesus' name, by the regenerating power of the gospel. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation for everybody that believes. Not everybody that's religious. Not everybody that attends a church, everybody that believes is believing. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, dear friends, the gospel, the regenerating power of the gospel, that's able to put life, eternal life, into your soul by Jesus Christ, who came and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead, that you might have that eternal life, that man's ruin might be reversed by God's remedy, the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost. So friends, I ask you this afternoon, not are you religious, not do you attend a place of worship, I ask you, have you been born again? Have you been born again to a living hope? Have you been born again? Do you have the life of God in your soul? I ask you, have you been made a new creature in God's Son, Jesus Christ, else, because I tell you, nothing else will do. Nothing else will reach into your heart. The nature must be changed. And only by the power of God's Spirit, working in the heart, changing the heart, taking the love of sin out of the heart, and putting in its place a love for God and a love for your neighbor. But no one ever fulfilled the law of God, which is to love God and love your neighbor, until they were born again. It's an impossibility in your natural state and condition, because in that state and condition, you hate God and hate your neighbor. Not until you've been reborn, not until the regenerating power of the gospel has worked in you and given you a love for God such as you never had before, and a love for your neighbor. So man's ruin. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is what the word of God has for you, will teach you, if you will be informed, if you'll be instructed, that man is in a state of complete ruin, that there's none righteous, not one, none right with God but by the gospel. And of course that God has supplied us. Yes, sir.
Oh, can I speak there for a second? If you don't mind?
Of course, yeah.
Can I have a little bit of time?
Sorry?
Just put it here to me. Or...
Can I?
I'm Irish myself. I'm
not... Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that. I can tell.
I'm a Christian myself.
I can tell, right? Okay, yeah.
So, can I just put it to me, Aaron? I just want to speak something else.
No. Sorry.
Basically, what I want to know is, right?
Go on.
If there's a God above.
Yes.
And I know a lot of Christian men. Yes?
Yes.
They're following me around and they're putting rats on me.
Right.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Just listen. I want to speak to you as, you know what I'm saying to you, as a Christian.
Can I just butt in for one
yes.
second? You said to me, your opening statement was you were a Christian. Right?
Yes, I am. Yes.
And then the next breath you said to me, if there's a God in heaven.
Yes, there is a God in heaven. Obviously there is a God in heaven. We all know that.
You said if.
I understand that.
Right, okay.
Carry on. At the end of the day, listen to me.
Yeah.
There's a rat on me now at the moment, right?
There's a what?
What? You're a good, powerful man, aren't you?
I'm a what?
You're a powerful man.
No.
Right?
No. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
That's right, yeah, by grace. Right, listen to me. At the end of the day, yeah?
Uh-huh.
There's rats on me now at the moment. There's a rat in here at the moment.
Okay.
In my head.
Right.
Hold on for one second. Right?
Uh-huh.
And my mother's life, I'm telling the truth. There's a rat in my leg at the moment.
Right, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But they're God's creatures as well.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Now, yeah, rats, I'll never bite. They lie down and they go to bed.
I wouldn't know.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you.
What's that?
I'll put them on your shoulder and let you keep them.
Okay. Yeah. Have a good day. Yeah. Oh boy, do we get it? Hey, where do they all come from here in Handley? They all gather here. Like I was saying, friends, man's ruin. It ought to be obvious to you. But of course, we're quite want to see everybody else's ruin. But we're okay. Yeah? We judge other people, but you know, he's wrong, she's wrong. But you know, I'm okay. But you're part of that ruin of mankind. All sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, not a single one. None of us escape the taint of sin. None of us will escape the wrath of God to come. Unless that is, we accept, we receive God's remedy for that ruin. And that is, of course, the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel's regenerating power that makes a man, that makes a woman new inwardly. That transforms from the heart outwards. Make the tree good, Jesus says, and the fruit will be good. Make the heart of man good, and the rest will be good. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Priorities. Get rid of the ruin, embrace the remedy, and be regenerated by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Born again to eternal life in Jesus' name, who commands all men the only answer to man's ruin. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You would like to have a copy of God's word? It's offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours for the taking. If you'd like one, you come and ask for one.